This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. In the previous episode, I discussed evolution of a species as it relates to consciousness, and particularly how that evolution must happen through technology to a place where ultimately the consciousness that is undergoing the evolution will have the choice or will get to a moment in time called the singularity where it can not just merge with that technology, but actually leverage it in order to come out of its form as it seeks higher fidelity levels of awareness in its ultimate progression back to the oneness from which it came. And this is a very macro and also abstract and also spiritual idea. And so with that episode sort of serving as part one, I wanted to explore, or I suppose reveal, a little bit more context as to where my journey has brought me up to present date, really starting back in 2018, 2019 that I was talking about in that first episode, where I underwent my personal awakening, which was incredibly transformative, really changed the direction of my life. And I talked about how I actually became skeptical of a lot of the quote smart revolution and the connected tech that was really starting to become mainstream around that time. But since then, I have started to reintegrate from my massive awakening. And I would say that I've also had a series of mini awakenings following that across all facets of life. I had like a lifestyle / financial awakening, you know, and I think I alluded to it in part one, but I also have come full circle and now have gone completely 180 degrees from my initial assumptions and opinions that I had formed when I was sort of sitting in a different energy where I was really immersed in just a lot of the more fear-based narratives around quote-unquote transhumanism. I started to really dig in and learn more about all of the miraculous ways that technology is not, I mean, much more than just helping people, right? Like it does more than make our lives easier and more efficient, but it's entirely based on how we use it in terms of its effect on the world, right? Like it's fundamentally ones and zeros and materials and metals and algorithms that harness tremendous potential. And that potential can either be manifested for negative purposes or for positive growth. And that sort of led me to choose to be a part of what's happening on the planet right now, which was and still is very evident to me when it comes to this clear partnering with technology that we're seeing now and that will eventually lead to emergence with it. Brain-computer interfaces are one subset of that evolution, which is why I co-founded a company called NeoCore, where we're developing a non-invasive brain-computer interface to connect brainwave data to the personal device. This is not a plug and this is not a commercial. I'm just explaining the extent to which I've really come full circle on connected tech, and I never would have wanted to get involved in the progression toward the singularity if you would have asked me 4 or 5 years ago. But today, it's something that I am working to actively pioneer, partly because of my passion for evolution, but also because I don't want to see a future of surveillance capitalism or transhumanism or technological dystopias that I read so much about. And so I began to realize that in and of itself, connecting technology to humanity is not a bad or dangerous or even a risky thing to do. It's actually a really amazing and beautiful step forward that, you know, in my view, will be more transformative than flight or landing on the moon or maybe even the invention of the light bulb was. I mean, we're talking about an order of magnitude transformation in our lifestyle and in the way that we move forward as a planet. If you can take a computer, which is inherently neutral and hundreds of times smarter than humans are. And if you can train it to partner with a human, almost as a digital twin, so that it's completely in service to you and then connected to your biology or your physiological makeup, you know, we're talking about something that can only be additive, again, if leveraged without contamination by some biased force. This is what the best technologies and the best tech companies of the future will do. And so let me break down that concept a little bit more deeply for a second. Now, there's companies out there like Neuralink and Synchron that you might be familiar with. They're developing invasive neural chips. And, you know, these companies, in my view, are to be applauded for their work with these implants. But invasive BCIs simply aren't right for or needed by the masses. Yeah, they're completely life-saving for people who are suffering from conditions like paralysis or loss of limbs. Think about, for a moment, having your movement restored after a terrible accident or suddenly being able to communicate your thoughts on a screen after years of being unable to share them. A couple of days ago, there was a story posted of, I think, Neuralink's first customer who was able to control a cursor and actions on a computer screen just by using his thoughts. So like, it's already here. It's already working. And in those cases, these technologies are literally a godsend. But to others on the far end of the other side of the spectrum, they're a scary entry point to a very uncertain future that involves a desensitized population willing to surgically alter their minds at the drop of a dime, get microchips installed, like buying a new outfit at the mall, and be mind controlled by BCIs run by corporations whose agendas are nefarious. So, like anything, how you view this shift truly depends on your perspective. And the burning question in the back of my mind, and I honestly don't know the answer yet, when we have the option to jump into the metaverse or some other VR world, will I try it? For me, I think it all depends. I want to see it first. Who's running it? What will it be like inside? Can I come out whenever I want? How will the experience jive with my current situation in life, for example? What are the costs? What are the risks? What are the potential rewards? And so just because the metaverse will exist in a much more impactful form one day doesn't necessarily mean that you have to opt into it right away. I think until it becomes clear that the value of doing so outweighs the risk, I probably won't be joining or signing up or jumping in. Similarly, just because certain human-computer technologies will soon come to fruition, including ours, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily right for everybody. You should use your own judgment. Then again, 100 years from now, I think it'll be pretty hard to remain disconnected. If you do, you might literally be left out, like left to fend for yourself in the old world. And so in terms of when the singularity is going to happen, Ray Kurzweil postulates that it will be here by 2045. And so 20 more years, give or take. In terms of how it will happen, I really see it as three layers or three steps. One, body to tech wearables, which is already here. It's been here for a while. Examples include Fitbit, Apple Watch, etc. You probably own one or more of these types of technologies, right? Second, bring to computer, so BCIs. This is also already here, still in its infancy, very much a frontier market, but starting to evolve more rapidly. And then three, consciousness to computer. Not here yet, but being worked on. These innovations will include things like memory storage and transfer, uploading human data to computers, dream retrieval, mental imaging, thought-to-thought transference and communication, etc. And so as technology continues to become more interwoven into our lives, and it's not going to recede, by the way, it's only getting stronger, we stand at a precipice now where, as a human race, we're either going to become entirely dependent and even more deeply immersed within it, or we're going to learn to leverage it as our servant instead of our master. And so what we're working on at NeoCore in order to help spur this revolution, this movement, in as positive and value additive a way as humanly possible is non-invasive brain computer interface earbuds that will make it possible to receive totally customized device experiences, all based on your brainwave data and what it indicates that you need for maximized attention, relevance, and engagement with the content that you prefer to consume. As long as your earbuds are in, they will be able to pick up dozens of features, which are different types of brainwave patterns, such as performance-related signals, memory, cognitive bandwidth, attention, reasoning. And then what we'll be able to do is to receive that data, decipher it, and use it to prompt, present, and predict exactly what you need based on your unique brain. And so without going too much into the weeds, the point that I want to get across here is that this process of technological evolution, of working with and eventually coming together with technology, is not inherently good or bad. Again, it really all depends upon your goal, your perspective, and I think the specific technology that you're working with and why you're working with it in the first place. You will always have a group of people who say, no, not me. I will never attach myself to certain smart technologies. Conversely, you will always have a small group of people who say, yes, absolutely. As soon as these things hit the market, I will buy them and I will use them. I will be an early adopter. The technology adoption curve is a model that essentially outlines how the population tends to adopt new innovations as they hit the market. And as with most things, I think connected tech like this will be adopted in a very similar way, where you have an early group who just buys any and everything that comes out, the majority of the population who waits and sees, some on the front end of that, and then some on the back end, and then the laggards, the people that need to see several years worth of evidence of safety and social proof that make them feel at ease in such a way that they're willing to finally give it a try. And we all fall perhaps on different places within the adoption curve for different types of technologies. So this is really all I have for this episode. I essentially just wanted to close the loop on that last show and provide a little more context on why I think it matters, why I have become so incredibly passionate about evolving alongside tech innovation, and then to share more and kind of announce on this episode what me and my team are working on at NeoCore. Again, the reason that I'm addressing these topics is because the world is evolving at a quickening pace, and to ignore them or to pretend like these things aren't real or aren't meaningful is to live in ignorance. And 10, 20, 30 years from now, things are going to look a lot different than they do right now. I believe it's incumbent upon us to be a force for good, to bring these new innovations to life, to help as many people as possible to live more fruitful, more productive, and happier lives. All right, thanks so much for tapping in. I'll see you in the next episode. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at NeoCore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.